Okay, good morning. I'm Gina Curry. That actually happens a lot because her name is Jeannie and I'm Gina, so they confuse it a lot. And I like it, but anyway. So I'm Gina Curry, and I'm going to talk a little bit about engaging African American academicians in African American community engaged research. So we have no relationships to disclose. So first, a little background. So 2007, Northwestern has funded a Translational Science Award to do community-based participatory research as one of the components. So we developed a steering committee, and immediately, about 2008, we realized that we have this great steering committee. We have a good momentum going. We're promoting community-engaged research through capacity-building workshops for the faculty to understand the language of the community and for the community to understand the language of the university. But we realized that our steering committee doesn't have any African-American representation. So Jeannie and I took it upon ourselves to go out and kind of try to find out, you know, why don't we have any representation? What are some of the things that they want to see? What would encourage them to partner with the university? Because that's the whole realm of community academic partnerships. We needed the community to come and to partner with us. So we embarked on about a 9-month process of identifying African-American leadership in the community, African-American faculty, to come aboard, and we actually did a presentation at APHA in 2009 when it was in Philadelphia. So we successfully did that piece. So then 2009, we've successfully brought in these African American steering committee members. Now Chicagoland knows that Northwestern has this grant and they're looking to do community engagement. And so they're starting to call, and then we have the SEED grant program to support the community academic partnership so that they can kind of learn by doing. So we're getting phone calls now from the African American community, and they're asking, well, you know, what African American faculty do you have that we can partner with, because that's a requirement of our SEED grant program. And we didn't have any. We didn't have any African-American faculty other than Jeannie to partner with. And Jeannie was already on 3 SEED grant programs. She teaches medical students, and she's a pediatrician, so she has her own practice. So, I mean, she couldn't do any more SEED grant programs. So now we're at 2010, and we have all this demand for partnerships. Now, this is a slide shows the original steering committee or org chart, and it shows the original 9 community-based organizations, and again had no African-American representation. And then this slide shows the current org chart, and it has the more participatory governance model. It has the African-American community-based organizations. It now has faculty members on it. The original one didn't even have faculty, and we have public agencies. And then this slide is a timeline kind of going over 2008, 2009 of kind of what I just described. And then 2010, which I'm about to go into a little bit more. And 2011. So it's May 2010, and we've had all the African-American community-based organizations looking for African-American faculty at Northwestern to partner with. So Jeannie and I, again, took it upon ourselves to try to go out and try to see what we could do to remedy this. So the first thing we did was we met with the Office of Diversity at Northwestern. And so we know we wanted to, you know, our goal was to develop this network for African-American faculty and fellow to build relationships, to, you know, develop their careers. A lot of people didn't know what was in it for them to do community-engaged research. And to introduce them to ARC, because a lot of people didn't even know ARC existed, and then to CBPR, they may have known a little bit about CBPR, but not a lot. And then to eventually partner for community research. And before this, there were some attempts to kind of build a network like this, but nothing deliberate. So since there was no funding, we decided to do a series of events. And the first one, we said, well, we're doing an informational brunch. We had no funding, so we had a brunch at Jeannie's house. And it was well attended. We had 20 participants, mostly junior faculty, mostly clinical. And they said exactly what we already knew. They knew nothing about ARC and what we did. They knew nothing about CBPR. they were interested in research, but they weren't supported by their department head. Like, we had one that said, well, I'm interested in doing some sickle cell work, but my department head doesn't support me, so I really can't have any movement without their support. And then, quite frankly, some of the people that did have research interests, it was just traditional interests. It was research interests. It wasn't CBPR. And then others, they had no research skills. They might have kind of knew about it, but they didn't have any skills. And then most of them had 80% clinical appointment, and they just didn't see how research would even fit into such a rigorous appointment. But that was our first session, and again, we felt it was still it was a positive experience. So then we have before I go to that slide, I probably should mention that okay. So the first, I don't know how to go back, but the brunch that we had in September, the kind of informational brunch, that was in September, and then in October, ARC released our third round of C grant program, our third round of C grants. And so just from that month before that we had that networker, we actually ended up having two of the academic partners that came to the breakfast apply to, you know, make partner with some community organizations and actually apply for C grants. And so from that, those two that came to the September event and then the October release of the RFP, one was actually funded. So we felt that was positive. So now we move back to February 2011. We have our second networker, and we called it the Black History Networker, and we held it on campus. It's a W Hotel on the Northwestern campus, Chicago campus, and it was a bitter cold February day. And that was our biggest attendance. We had 25 people that came out. You know, a lot of them had been at the brunch in September, and they came. And again, we're not funded, so. They came and, you know, bought their own glass of wine or whatever, and they just like to have the space to meet other African-American faculty and fellow. A lot of them were in the same discipline and never even seen each other before, and so they liked the space. And it was mainly junior faculty, clinicians, and at this one, we actually, you know, we kind of cemented. It was cemented in our minds that this is something they wanted, because they started talking about, we need funding, we need we need dedicated support or a coordinator for these kind of events. And they actually changed the name. Initially, it was NUAF. It was the Northwestern University African American Faculty and Fellow. And they wanted the M in there because we're out of the College of Medicine, so they added the M, and now it's NUMAF. And then our next event was a barbecue, again, back at Jeannie's house because we don't have any money. So this was a potluck, and this was in August. So now this one was the least attended. It only had 5 attendees, but we actually got the most work done. they had the 5 attendees, and it kind of actually ended up serving as almost like a committee meeting. A work group meeting or something like that. We actually got work done. We conceptualized the quarterly minority speaker series, because a lot of the, the African-American faculty and fellow, they wanted to hear about how other African-American faculty had navigated through the university system and had a successful research career and was, they were promoted and tenured and all that kind of thing. So. And then out of the 5 people there, 2 of the people had discretionary funds, and they're like, well, you know, we could support and sponsor the first 2 quarterly meetings. So we're like, this is a really productive meeting. We were really happy about it, even though it was the lowest turnout. And now I'm going to turn it over to Jeannie. Mm-hmm.
Hello, everyone. You guys are dead. How are you guys? Okay. I left my 16-year-old in a hotel room sleeping, so if I was able to do that and get over here, you guys need to wake up just a minute. So one of the things that came out from all the different things that we were talking, I know it may seem that this is that we're a social networking sort of entity. The reality of the situation is that for me this was like deja vu, is that, you know, I do research and I like doing research, but I sort of fell into it. I have 1 foot in the community. I have my own community pediatric and adolescent medicine clinic that's separate from the university, and I'm an academician. I love to teach. What I thought, and with Gina, what we thought about is that, number one, we don't even know who the African Americans are in the our campus. I mean, it's huge, and they're there. But every time we have one of these events, we find out more and more about different people, and people with very successful research careers. Dr. Yancey is the head of cardiology there. He's an African American, one of the oldest OBGYNs. You mentioned Daniel Hill Williams. I mean, he went to medical school at Northwestern. So there's a lot of history there, a lot of things, but we're not connecting, we're not sharing it. The other thing that we found is that once people heard about this community-based participatory research program that we were doing and seed grants, we were overwhelmed with the number of African-American organizations that were interested in working with Northwestern. The interesting thing that was different from all the other groups was that African-American organizations wanted to work with African-American faculty. The other organizations, even if they were certain ethnic groups, didn't specify a certain ethnicity. They wanted to work with Northwestern. They wanted to some help in finding answers to their priority issues. African Americans would say, are there some African American people that we can work with? So it was very interesting. So a number of themes came out from the different things that we've done. And I know Gina mentioned it, but in terms of using qualitative methodology, initially when we were trying to figure out what we were going to do, we met with a number of African-American faculty and asked them, what would it take for you to be interested in working in African-American communities? In addition, we did the same thing with African-American organizations. What would it take for you to be willing to work with Northwestern? And we put all that together in order to figure out what are the recommendations, how should we proceed? So we definitely realize that there's a great need for African-American faculty to have the space to network and to get to know each other. It was very interesting. You know, we made it perfectly clear. Our agenda was about research, conducting community-based participatory research. And what we kept hearing is, we don't even know each other. We don't even know who we can work with. We don't even know who's doing research. We don't even know what type of research there is. A large proportion of the African-American faculty that works at Northwestern are not from Chicago. They really don't know anything about the communities at all. Junior faculty, especially minority, need informal ways to connect with senior faculty mentorship. It's not to say that there aren't mechanisms to try to bring people together, but typically these activities are arranged around helping out in terms of doing mentorship for African-American medical students. So the idea is to mentor, and the reality is for many of the fellows and junior faculty, they need mentoring too. We need mentoring. Most participants are interested in research, but many actually had a lot of data collected, but they didn't know what to do with it outside of their initial purposes. Okay, I went backwards. Okay. Challenges with clinicians and academicians in terms of not equally being interested in research. One of the things that we found is that the Northwestern family is far-reaching. Some are in the suburbs that are an hour and a half, 2 hours away with 80% appointment in terms of clinical for them to come back and participate at some of the capacity-building activities we have for faculty at Northwestern and in communities was very difficult. Again, most African-American faculty were not aware of what we were doing in the Alliance for Research in Chicagoland Communities. And there's similar trust dynamics with African-American faculty as with African-American community-based organizations and universities. You know, one of the missions or the things that we're focused on with ARC is working with communities so that we're speaking the same language. And so that we understand what is it, what are our common goals, and how can we achieve that, but collaborating together and with mutual respect. And one of the things that we failed to see is that even amongst African-American faculty, there was this issue of trust that was very important. So they wouldn't necessarily be interested in working in the community, working with other healthcare providers, unless they felt like they trusted them or knew them. Most African-American faculty at Northwestern, I already mentioned that, sorry. In terms of process advantages, so through this forum, we have provided a platform that allows for relationship building as opposed to project or program relationships. So what we've done is that every one of these times that we meet, we make sure we discuss things that are going on in terms of ARC, different events, capacity building, but we allow people to network and meet each other and talk to each other at whatever level they want. So if that's simply a social networking, that's fine. If they want to hear about certain type of research, that's fine. If they want to meet someone, want to be introduced to someone in a special area, that's fine too. So we're leaving it wide open so that the participants are the ones that pretty much decide how we move forward. And again, although the initial priority was to match with the community-based organizations for projects, we found that first we need to build a foundation of support, trust, and interest. And the other thing is we've created a space, a safe space for junior faculty. Gina mentioned this quite a bit. There's no direct funding or staffing. There are scheduling difficulties. We are working with department heads. We're just trying to be very creative in terms of what we can do and hoping that we can engage a lot more faculty in working with the communities. We think Inform is the best way to engage the African-American faculty. There's an immediate need to mix seniors and junior faculty and mid-level faculty to share experiences. We are seeking specific funding to develop this core of African-American researchers. Thank you very much.